morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 20th, 140th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg. Hey, guy.
How you doing?
Oh, peachy-weechy.
You look kind of peachy today.
Yeah. Well, that's the milkshake I had last night.
Okay.
Yeah. You like peaches?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Willow Creek peaches. The best.
As contrasted to Pepperwood peaches.
They taste better in the 5th District for some reason.
Yeah. Pot of gold at the bottom of the tree. Oh. Let's see. Our quote this morning comes from Eleanor Roosevelt, or Roosevelt, depending on which side of the family you come from. Quote, "It's not fair to ask of others what you're unwilling to do yourself."
It's very true.
And she didn't make the $20 bill. That recommendation, did you guys play with that at all?
No.
Make a selection of who, you know, if there was to be a female on the 20, who would you choose? They had like, I don't know, 8 or 10 different ones. Oh. I thought if they're going to do it, and I thought I couldn't do it without my opinion.
It would most definitely be the kindergarten teacher at Philbrook School. Without a doubt.
Boy, I must not have scrolled down far enough on the screen to find that option.
I'm sure it was there somewhere.
I went with her. I guess Harriet Tubman is the one that garnered the most support.
The hypotheticals?
Yeah, at this point, still hypothetical, yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the implementation of Z. I know everybody's been dancing around in Virginia last week, talked about the fact that you guys aren't going to get anything until the first meeting in June, or a decision won't be made till then. But boy, it's all hot and heavy right now because free money tends to do that.
Well,
unencumbered money, I shouldn't say free.
It's not free.
Yeah, I know. I felt it this week.
Yep.
What is the cash flow anticipation of this thing? Everybody says X a year. Well, it started a quarter before the end of or the start of a year. So you've got that component that's in place now, and everybody's talking about X a year. Well, are they going to have to wait for a year before they get any monies to be able to put in? Or how's the actual allocation or pushing the money into the system going to go?
I haven't heard the number, but I know what I do know is that we're supposed to receive our first check in June. And so as time goes on, you know, and it accumulates. So April 1st to June, this first check should come up. And then I'm sure we can divide out how, you know, $8.8 million in that. And
would you say 2 months and there are 6 of those every year?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't need to go to that higher level of math skill that apparently those that live with kindergarten teachers are able to do.
You change this to the early show, so yeah. You can't expect much out of me.
Yeah. Well, glad to see you just drooling on yourself now instead of on the floor, too.
Thank you for the coffee, by the way.
You betcha. But the implementation or the release of the monies, they're going to be done in small increments like that?
That's what I understand, is we're going to get a check, you know, split it up between the different quarters, I would assume. And then I haven't figured out yet either. I think there's some questions still hanging out there about how it's going to be paid out, you know, because we haven't talked about, like, say that the fire chiefs are awarded the full amount that they asked or that's been recommended, $2.6 million or $400,000 for the Eureka Police Department. We can't write them a check for that right away because
it ain't there.
It's not there yet. It's the cash flow issue. So, and then the other question that's going to come up that I know I have that hasn't been answered yet is how do we pay that out? You know, do you go buy equipment or do you get a quote for the equipment and then turn that in, or do the Eureka Police Department, do they hire somebody and then say, here's how much it costs per quarter, and then they turn something in and we reimburse them?
Like a voucher system almost.
I haven't figured out yet, or I don't think we've decided yet how that's all going to work.
Well, hey, there's no time like the present to figure that stuff out. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
the best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the concept of the Measure Z is kind of interesting, and I think I would hate to think that the soups have got to become experts in order to make the proper allocations for all of the various sundry da-da-da. You got enough minutia you play with anyway. Are you hoping that you guys can stay above the fray? Once a selection is made, okay, X for this, X for that. We follow the recommendations. Thank you very much. Quarterly reports, we're out of here. Is that kind of what the attitude is?
That's what I'm hoping for. You know, we've got a really good CAO staff, County Administrative Office staff, that is used to dealing with budgets and money and how it gets allocated and when it gets allocated. And so I would assume that the CAO's office is going to play a big role, and then the board is just going to provide guidance, you know, whenever they have questions. You know, should we have this be reimbursement? Should we front it? How much should we front? You know, all I think.
Do you guys even want to get in at that level? I mean, you know, that's more the treasurer end.
Yeah, policy decisions, I think, will be, you know, should definitely be ours.
Right, but is that policy or is that just implementation? And
implementation.
It's kind of getting into the nuts and bolts a little bit.
Sometimes they bring us more detailed questions like that, you know, because I think those kinds of things can get, you know, political. And I don't want the CAO staff to make it look like they're the bad guy because they're not giving money all at one time. So it should go to the board and say, you know, have the board make a decision if they think that someone's going to get upset about something.
And that wasn't in the language of Measure Z?
No.
Wouldn't you think it would have been? Well, you know, issued on a quarterly basis based on the pro rata percentages recommended by the committee and solidified or formalized by the Board of Supervisors. Thank you very much.
I don't believe it was in there, and I think one of the reasons it was not in there is because you try and make these things as simple as possible, and the more information you put in there, the more confusing it gets for the public, and the more confusing it gets, the less likely someone's going to vote for something. And so,
but then on the flip side, you've got to go back and do the same stuff, but now it looks like it is a political process rather than something that the electorate could vote on.
I don't think how we dole out the money, you know, the nuts and bolts of that is, I mean, it's going to be what it is. You know, we either have the money or we don't. And you're either going to get it when it comes in or you're not going to get it. It's you know, but I just think if we can give the CAO's office cover for something like that, I'm willing to do it. We may not even have to go there. I don't know.
It's also 5 or 6 weeks away and it hasn't been addressed yet. Is that surprising to you?
No, I'm sure that they are developing a plan for it and just hasn't got to the board.
Hasn't risen to the level of importance yet.
Well, they try and get it all pulled together, have all the details put together because, you know, we can't meet with them all together. You know, we're more than two of us. Everything that happens with the Board of Supervisors happens in public. You know, it happens at a meeting. So they don't want to come to the meeting with half the information and have a bunch of questions happen, and it ends up being an hour and a half conversation about something.
Are they able to walk down the hallway, though?
Are they able to walk down the hallway?
Yeah. I'm not physically can they walk down the hallway, but can they walk down the hallway and say, you know, hey, Ryan, here's what we're looking at. Does that make sense to you? Okay, boom, go next door. Hey, Virginia, here's what we're looking at. Da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And kind of get a consensus prior to, here it is, and then if somebody doesn't like it, now it's, you know, Donnybrook out, and you're spending a bunch of time to could have been taken care of otherwise.
Well,
is that legal to do?
It doesn't sound like it.
Oh, okay. You know, so you can't go 1+1+1+1+1.
You're not. Yeah, no one's supposed to know what the outcome of a vote is supposed to going to be ahead of time.
Right, but to get input on, does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you can
Thanks.
Get input, but I mean, I don't necessarily need to have input on. You know, I'd rather just have them get all this stuff together, see what makes sense. It's not going to be rocket science on how much money's coming in and how what they can cut checks for. It's not, you know, so have them get it all together and then bring it to the board and we'll say, yeah, that sounds good, and move on from there.
Who does Z fall under as far as a department head assignment? Is that the CAO's office that is the point on that, or is it the treasurer?
The treasurer, I believe, it's the Board of Equalization collects the money. But I think it moves through the treasurer's office and the auditor's office and then CAO's office. So I think it touches all those guys.
So whose string do you pull if there's an issue or if there's a question about it? Is it through the CAO?
We go to the CAO, okay. And he's got a good relationship with the other elected officials. And
but if you had a question about the sheriff's department, you'd call the sheriff.
Yeah.
In the organizational chart, where is this new little...
Yeah, if there's an issue with the sheriff's department, I would call the sheriff and ask him.
Okay. He might even take your call.
Yeah, he'd take my call. I'd take his.
Yeah.
It's a give and take relationship.
Yeah. Oh, what a pal. What a buddy. Oh, gee. Well, it'll be interesting to see once the implementation of this does start happening. I would like to think that the county is going to be releasing regular updates mm-hmm. on how the money is being allocated and how it's being spent.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that was really important for, I know, me and others was we wanted to make sure Measure Z was separate and that it didn't get sucked in, you know, they call it, you know, getting sucked into the black hole of the county, you know. And so I was just speaking to Sheriff Downey last week and I was asking him some questions about how this is all going to work. And he told me that they have a separate budget unit just for Measure Z, and so that's how they're going to account for it separately. And then
simple and clean.
Yeah, it's going to be all in a separate account, so the money in, money out will be really, really transparent. Be able to tell the public, yeah, this is what we spent it on, and didn't go to something that you don't know about.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, the concept of Measure Z, kind of everything kind of flowing together a little bit, that's one component, I guess, for us trying to be a little bit more independent, kind of taking care of our own. When you look at the economic picture of the county and some of the challenges that are out there, you know, we've got the state whipping statewide things on us, like with the drought. Mm-hmm. That really there's no local flexibility or allowances for a lot of that. When you look at economic development or like the redevelopment agencies being just eradicated, I guess, statewide, you got Measure Z. Are there thoughts if some of these over-the-top projections that are starting to be talked about come to fruition? And let's say the Z money is, let's say $4 million. That's a nice, goofy figure. $4 million additional is generated each year from the sales tax than was what was projected. Okay. Is there any discussion, any thoughts, do you have any thoughts? If there's that kind of money sitting around, do you use it? Do you park it for a rainy day? Do you throw it to economic development, try to get some businesses here? I mean, what is there been any discussion on the, boy, we went conservative on this and look at all this extra money?
First, there has not been any discussion. That's the first time I've heard that there's possibility that it could be that much more. So my off-the-cuff answer would be that it would make sense to put it into some kind of rainy day fund, and you don't have, just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it all. It would be my preference that, you know, if there's some way we could, you know, build up a reserve and then, you know, hopefully not need, you know, if we need it, we'll have to ask for Measure Z to be renewed. But my goal is to not have it renewed, or, you know, renewed at a lower amount, or some way that,
because the need it. Because the need isn't there, or because there's more revenue so you can extend whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's more revenue and, you know, have businesses make more money and more taxes, and you just don't need it.
I'll fillet on the other side. If we have an extra, say over the 5 years, 10, 15 million bucks unallocated, why not take that and try to deal with some of the causing agents of the criminal activity, of some of the stuff that the DA is having to deal with, some of these areas that are being addressed? See if we can knock it out of the box now so we don't have those ongoing reoccurring needs, and we can do something different and maybe have the economy and the community repair itself sooner.
Well, that's, yeah, that's,
I'm, well, you're sure not that, engaging. Well, some more coffee.
I think that'll come up. You know, I think it's kind of a weird place to be, to have money. You know, I mean, since I've been on the board,
for most of us, it's purely theoretical.
Yeah, it's been hatchet and scalpel. You know, since I've got here, and now the last couple of years have been, okay, we're breaking even, and then now to go into the mindset of, what can we do? You know, what kind of things can we go and invest in that's going to make this community better? It's going to be an exciting time, actually, to be able to have those conversations and go find out what the community wants and what kinds of things can we invest in, and economic development and fixing some of our social issues. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why we, I mean,
I'm
that's
in
one
favor
of
the meat cleaver approach to a lot of things, yeah, as you know. So it's
one of the fun things about this job. You know, it's okay, here's a problem. How do we fix it? And, you know, and how do you, you know,
the mental challenges of,
yeah. And I look forward to that kind of stuff. And I think it's going to be a good time trying to figure out how to fix these big social problems and economic development. And, you know, there's a lot of pieces to it. And
I guess I would like to see some inertia towards true job creation, whatever that means. Not onesies, twosies, but something that makes our area more attractive to more businesses who are here and those who aren't here. Not the manufacturing plant concept, because with automation that kind of seems to be going the other direction anywhere. But to make us, the argument we're behind the Redwood Curtain, to me, I think, is an excuse. Mm-hmm. It's an easy thing you can lay stuff off to, instead of saying, wait a minute, there's a lot of people that don't like crowds, do appreciate a 15-minute commute to work. Mm-hmm. That we should be the highest demand location in the state of California, not the one that's the afterthought. And to change that attitude and to get some folks locating here. I mean, you know, Silicon Valley was in the middle of nowhere for a long time. Okay. I mean, you're playing with the stuff over the hill, you know, getting some of the capacity built up. Why not get somebody that needs capacity here? Why not? I mean, if we got 100 people employed here, or some high-end guy wanting to bring his jobs here, I bet you we could find the money for another cable line to bury in the dirt or up on the poles to make his dream ours.
Yeah, I mean, we have some really good advantages here, and probably the biggest advantage is water. You know, having an excess of water in California or in the United States is,
as long as it's not taken from us.
Well, no, but
so how do you build that into the equation?
What I've said to people, though, is there's got to be somebody out there that uses a lot of water that doesn't have it now. You know, and we can give them cheap water, and we have, you know, we're going to have really good internet service here pretty soon. And we're going to have 299 and 101 opened up to STAA traffic. So you've got transportation, you've got internet, and you've got water.
Okay, let's back that up just a tad. You said 101 and STAA?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about Richardson's Grove that the rest of us don't?
There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to happen.
This century or next has always been the question.
I don't think it's going to be that long. I mean, it's moving its way through the court system, and that project just has such a low impact that, I mean,
it should have been done 10 years ago.
Our board is unanimous on it, you know. So, I mean, they might need to fix a few things on their environmental impact report, but I believe, from everything that I know and my conversations with Charlie Fielder, they're not giving up on it, and they're going to keep moving forward. They just did a presentation, you know, a few months ago to our board, and it's moving through the process.
So you see slow, that'll be squared up, the additional capacity, 299.
I'm positive it's going to. Yeah, I'm not positive. I guess I'm as positive you can be about it happening. And 299 is almost finished.
Okay. KINS News and Information. It's 8:44.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, you talked about 299, 101. I went immediately to Richardson's Grove. Obviously, there's Last Chance Grade south of Crescent City also. It's STAA now, but the road may not be there.
Yeah. So I'm appointed by the board as one of the stakeholders. Jared Huffman has put a stakeholder group together to go work on getting a solution to Last Chance Grade. We had our second meeting a couple weeks ago, and we spent a lot of time getting to know each other and kind of a team building thing, so we trust each other and all that. And one of the things that we looked at was the actual grade itself, the Last Chance Grade road,
the current,
what's there and what's predicted. And you know, that slide is like 170 feet deep. It's like some of the spans are a mile long.
All you have to do is drive it a couple times and you can tell where the drops are. And
they'd put in $1 million walls.
Oh yeah,
that
three times
supposed to last for 5 years, and it's been a year and a half. And when I drove home, there's 2-3 inch cracks in that.
Oh, it was up in Crescent City.
The meeting was in Crescent City.
Oh, perfect. So everybody got a chance to touch it and feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started looking at it, and they're showing the movement, and everyone's looking at each other like, "What? This isn't going to last that much longer." You know, who knows? You know, they're talking about earthquakes. You know, this type of earthquake will cause this amount of damage.
Yeah, one good event, it's
and
over.
So some of the main questions that got asked from the environmentalists is they were saying, you know, can we cantilever out? And there's some name for it, and then go around the most you can cantilever out and then build around something like that is about 300 feet, they said, and some of the spots are almost a mile long. So it doesn't, you know, blew that one out of the water. Then they said, well, what about, isn't there a state parks road coming from the north and a Diamond road going from the south?
Not Mill Creek.
No, they're just little gravel roads they have, and they end about 300 feet from each other. And they could put, you know, span that and then build some kind of temporary road in there. But the grades are too steep. You know, there are these gravel roads
that
are really
roads.
Steep. Yeah, and so the normal public would never be able to drive on that because they would crash all over the place. So they kind of ruin that idea. You know, if something catastrophic happened, they would use it as, they would probably bridge it and then use it as emergency, you know, in government vehicles and all that. So one of the main things that came out of it was they were talking about how long it would take to actually get cars on the road around last chance grade. 22 years.
Oh, that'll be something for us all to consider.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we'll talk about that. I'm sure
an act of Congress could waive some of this and make it quicker, and that's what they left us on, was ponder that.
All right, you ponder it too as your day gets rolling. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug some of you, see you then.